Welcome back as we continue looking at the poultices, which can have an incredible effect in relieving symptoms and also contributing to the healing. A lot of disease grows on inflammation, and the ginger poultice, getting that inflammation down, can go a long way to contributing to the healing of arthritis. And some people we find they have suffered for so long and they don't want to go on the medication. So these simple things. What we also find is that I always pray for the poultice and I always ask them permission if I may pray, and they always say yes. They always say please. But it can be a real opening of the door. And you really see it in the simple natural treatments that they may not be doing all of this right, but once they start to get relief, which the natural poultices, do you know, they start to open up a little bit more, which is such a blessing. Now we're going to have a look at this. Can you see there's a fluid being made there? Mm-hmm. So the onion syrup is already starting to be made. That's the cough syrup. So you can see that if you've got someone who's coughing and coughing, yes, give them a hot foot bath. Yes, put the onion on their feet. But by the time you've already done the foot bath, put the onion on the feet, oh, look, you've got a little bit of syrup that you can give them. So at a stretch, you could get a little syrup in about an hour. But ideally, you wait till 24 hours is up, and then you can strain the onion out. We looked at the ginger poultices for inflamed joints, arthritic joints, painful lower back. And then we started to look at the potato. Now, potato is for tissue inflammation. So ingrown toenails, it's great. It was about 4 years ago, I was riding my bicycle across our Misty Mountain Bridge. We've got a little wooden bridge. And I wasn't taking note. Do you know that's when most accidents happen? Mm-hmm. I call it off in La La Land, daydreaming and looking at the trees. And my wheel got caught in a little rut in the bridge, and I went over. And I went over, and then my head went smash against the corner. And you'll notice I've got a dent there now. Some people think it's a dimple. It's where I crashed on the bridge. Now, the cause of the dimples, really easy, crash on the bridge. But it's not always, the cause isn't always that easy, as we've seen. And my son was mowing the lawn and he could see that I was in a bit of trouble, so he came over. And I said to him, my finger. So I've crashed here. I scraped my hip. I'm a bit bony. I've got a scar there. And I did crack two ribs. I found that out later when I sneezed. Whoa. But all I could think about is what's happening with my finger. So when he got me home, he had a look and I had a big black splinter, almost as big as a match stick, and had gone down the front of my nail. Oh, that was hurting. And so we put some ice on here because that, you know, that had been smashed quite badly. And William said, Mum, let me see if I can get it out. Oh, well, it didn't take long before I said, we're going to leave that one. It's very tender there. So I put a grated potato poultice on it. So I went to bed that night with the grated potato poultice up and my hand up in the air and a poultice on here. Praise be to God, I slept all night. Isn't that incredible? See, whenever I get pain, I don't think of painkillers. I think, what's causing the pain? Mm-hmm. And what can I do to relieve that pain? Mm-hmm. Well, I had the most beautiful eyeshadow. It was this purple that went all around there. And I had this lump as big as a duck egg. And then it went down after about 2 weeks to a golf ball. And then after another few weeks, it went to a macadamia nut. Now, the local doc visited is a friend of ours. And I told you, I've got some very good friends that are doctors. In fact, he advises people to come to me. And he said, whoa, what's happened to you? I said, oh, I crashed on the bridge. He said, "Whoa, that's a hematoma. That'll take 3 months to go down." And he was right. But it just didn't go down. Then it went in. And he felt my ribs. He said, "Oh, you got two cracked ribs there." And I said, "Yeah, it feels like it." You can't do much for that. But what I would do every day, I would lie on the trampoline with a comfrey poultice there. Are you familiar with comfrey? Comfrey has a growth stimulant and it stimulates rapid healing. And yeah, you probably have another name for it.
No.
And when I first went into the home that I'm in now, I planted comfrey and aloe vera all around my house. They were the first things I put in. So I put a comfrey poultice on there every day because I thought I probably smashed my cheekbone, but what are they going to do? What are you going to do? So I just put the comfrey on. Now I've just got a dent. But what I wanted to tell you about was the finger. So the next day, the finger was not sore at all. Do you know why it wasn't sore? Because there was no inflammation there. So what I did next was I really didn't do anything until it got sore. And when I got sore, I put another potato poultice on it. So I put another one overnight. And the next day, no inflammation at all. And so the next night, so that's 3 nights of grated potato all night. It was fine through the day, but by the end of the day, it was starting to build up a little bit. So on the third day, after third night, so I went to the fourth day, I had a look at it and the black spot was more pronounced. What the grated potato was doing was encouraging the skin or the body to pull it out. And so I got some tweezers and I pulled it out. And it was probably, a few millimetres long and quite thick. It was a mighty splinter. What would have happened if I'd done nothing? Because I didn't know what to do. That would have swollen right up, is that right? And maybe I would have taken painkillers, but that's not going to help that. It's just going to stop my body actually feeling the pain, and the pain is there for a reason. And then what's happening? Oh, it's all red. Oh, no, I can see pus coming out. And what does the person think now? I've got an infection. I have to go and get antibiotics. And the doctor looks at it, it's red and swollen and it's getting red in that area. It's very painful. So the person stays on the painkillers and takes the antibiotic. And all we need to do is potato poultice. Now, if that potato poultice didn't take my pain away, I would have combined it with hot and colds. But I'm a very busy lady and sitting down doing hot and colds, and the potato was doing it. You see, if the body will tell you if the potato's not doing it. I had a lady ring me and she said, "My little 10-year-old girl has just trod on a rusty nail." And the rusty nail went almost through the top of her foot. She said, "We've got a grated potato poultice on, but it's still red and it's still a little bit swollen and it still is a little sore." So I said, "What I want you to do is the hot and colds." What are the hot and colds going to do? They're going to move blood. And we're going to get more oxygen, we're going to get more nutrients, going to take away more waste, more white blood cells. I said, "Do hot and colds, then do a grated potato poultice," well, on the foot. And I said, "Ring me back in 2 hours because I want to know the child's response. And if there's no response and you worry, you just go to hospital. They'll probably give a tetanus shot, antibiotics." So we're looking for the response. Anyway, she rang me back in 2 hours and she said, "All the inflammation's gone down. There is no more redness there and my daughter's laughing." So the response is telling you, yes, yes, we can do that. But I want to tell you about one of the guys that worked for us. He was a real hippie, back to nature, you know, barefoot all the time. And he was cutting the grass with a sickle. You know what a sickle is? It's a blade that goes around like barefoot. So he's cutting the grass with a sickle and the sickle went in behind his ankle. I heard about it and I thought, "Oh, that'll hurt," but I didn't hear any more. And he lived in a little caravan on the bottom of the property. I didn't hear anything more. And then after 3 days, one of the guys said, "Have you seen Chris? His foot's up like a red balloon and he's got a red line going up his leg." And he's lying in his bed smoking marijuana, waiting for nature to heal. Where's our little two-letter word? The body will heal if you give it the right condition. And unfortunately, the marijuana was just dulling his pain, and that wasn't a good idea, because that pain was there for a reason. Isn't it? Pain is there for a reason. It's actually a sign. Do something. So I said, oh, bring him up. So the guys just about had to carry him. And I did hot and colds. And I had to watch him carefully. How was that hot? Now, you know what we've got here? We've got a perfect environment for tetanus. Horses carry tetanus. And there was a horse in our paddock. And we've got a wound that is deep and has healed on the outside but not on the inside. Perfect environment. And so I did hot and colds, and that brought pain down by 50% easily. And you can just tell by body language. You know what the body language will say? You see their shoulders relax. Because when someone's in pain, you know, they almost can't help but tighten against the pain. I saw his shoulders relaxed and a smile came to his face. And then I made the biggest potato poultice I've ever made and wrapped the whole foot in the grated potato poultice. I wrapped it in glad wrap over it, and then we wrapped a bandage right around it, and I asked God to bless that. He could walk now, limp. He couldn't walk, he could limp. And I said, come back in 2 hours and we'll have a look at it. Now, do you know what the first response was? Pain relief. So that told me right away we're on the right track. So I want him back in 2 hours because I want to see how it's going. So after 2 hours he came back, the red line had gone down by 6 inches. That's quite a lot. So what's the red line mean? We've basically got blood poisoning. And when I took the bandage off, the wound was oozing. You want that wound to ooze. Remember what I said, it had sealed, but it hadn't healed from the inside. And I thought, praise God, there's response. And the big red balloon of a foot had actually gone down about a third. So we did hot and colds again. By now it was 6 o'clock in the evening, and I did a fresh grated potato poultice. And then I said, come up in the morning and we'll have a look. And when he came up in the morning, I'd say that red line had gone down a good foot, and the foot itself wasn't back to normal, but it was also almost back to normal, and the grated potato had pulled out a lot more ooze. You know, it was blood and pus that it was pulling out. So what's the body saying now? We can do this. And I think I only did the hot and colds once more that day and grated potato, and I left it with him. And if he wants help, what does he know? He can come and get it. So I think it was in 24 hours the red line had gone. The foot was back to normal. And I said to him, Chris, that wound must ooze. It must ooze until it's healed from the inside out. So that was quite an incredible experience, because one would immediately think, now that is a very extreme situation. But we were up in the rainforest, we're an hour from town. And sometimes what you can do straight away can prevent a crisis if you've got a long drive to town. You see that? He didn't want to go to the hospital, but we didn't want him to die. but we got relief from that. My little grandson, Sonny, trod on a rusty nail. He had those rubber Crocs on. You know, I've seen a few around here. And the nail went straight up through into his foot. And when they brought him to me, he was dirty because he'd been playing on the job site. You know, little boys want to be where the men are doing the building. And so what's the first thing you do when they're dirty? Put him in a bath. He was crying. And what does the bath do? It calms him down and it cleans it. First thing you'll do is clean it. Yeah. And if you think it needs a bit more cleaning, you can put the hydrogen peroxide on. That bubbles it up. That's a really good cleaner. And then I made a grated potato poultice For a little three-year-old boy, it was probably a little bit longer than this. So I just spread the potato out to make it a little bit longer. And that's about the size of a little three-year-old's foot. And we put his foot on it. We had plastic under it and we bandaged it. We put his sock on and then we put the crock on and sent him home with Mum. Now, William told me that he did another grated potato poultice that night, a fresh one, and kept it on overnight. And by morning, there was no pain. It felt good. There was no redness, no swelling, no nothing. As a little boy, didn't even make a noise. But they didn't put a poultice on. They just put shoe and sock on, you know, to help keep it clean. But by the end of the day, it had started to swell up a bit. So William put a grated potato poultice on it overnight. So this happened for 3 days, just overnight, and just shoes and socks through the day. After the third night of grated potato poultice, William brought the poultice to me. He said, "Mum, look at this." And on top of the poultice were little shavings. It was almost like a fluorescent blue metal. The potato had pulled the rusty metal out of the foot and cleaned up the rusty metal. Isn't that incredible? And they didn't do anything after that. Because his body response said there's no need to do anything anymore. If it, by the end of the day it was swollen again, what do? Just another grated potato poultice. And if the potato poultice isn't getting a response quick enough, then you'll do the hot and colds. But I want to finish on the grated potato with a remarkable story, yeah?
I was just wondering for insect bites, because nowadays we have a lot of infected insect bites, you could use poultice or the potato.
And
poultice.
Do you know why they're infected? Because the people scratch them. Mm-hmm. So ice. If you ice it, you don't scratch it. If you scratch a bite, you inflame the whole area, even break the skin, that's when they get infected. So you just ice it. But if they are infected, that's when you can use the grated potato, and we're going to look at charcoal in a minute. You could use that, yeah?
Could you also use it for tick bites?
For tick bites, you could, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Again, we're going to do a few more poultices. You just look at the body's response. Yeah. You might alternate. You might do one every 2 hours, a different one, and just see what the body responds to. So my son William, when he was 10, he trod on a... you know sleepers, they railway lines have those big wooden things, we call them sleepers. Well, a lot of people get the old sleepers and use them for landscaping. And this person had landscaped around their swimming pool and little Will was running along and one of them was broken, you know, breaking down a bit, and he hit the bottom of his foot. He came running to me crying and, sorry, I'm not a very good drawer. I'll do the best I can. Foot. Does that look a bit like a foot? So the hole was there. And I put tweezers in as much as I dare, maybe a centimetre, but I thought something's gone in and come out. That's all I could presume. Anyway, that night we put a grated potato poultice on because I thought it'll be a bit swollen. And the next day he's limping everywhere. So that night I did hot and colds and another grated potato. And in the morning I did another hot and cold. I'm doing this for 2 weeks and he's still limping. And I thought, what's the matter with his foot? And a friend of mine visited. Now William was my delicate boy. Peter, I could do anything to Peter. But William was a little bit more delicate. You know, he didn't like anything that hurt. And so I hadn't pushed the bottom of his foot because, he didn't want me to touch it. So a friend visited, he was a guy, and he said, "Let me have a look at it." And he pushed William's foot. William screamed, nearly jumped off the chair. And my friend said, "There's a lump of wood in there." He said, "And it's quite big, you're going to need surgery to get that out." William looked at me and I said, "It's all right, Will, we'll do grated potato surgery." So this is what I did. I did hot and colds in the morning, grated potato poultice. At lunchtime, I grated a fresh grated potato poultice, and then in the evening another hot and coals and grated potato overnight. So what I'm doing now is non-stop. So I don't usually do non-stop, but I thought this is serious. After 2.5 days, when I changed the poultice, I saw a black, it was a little black circle in the hole, about that big, about as big as 2 matchsticks. And I thought, wow, I haven't seen that before. And I touched it and it was hard. Now, remember, William's a little delicate. He doesn't like, you know, to touch sore things. So I said to him, I'm just going to flick the skin off the side with this needle. He let me do that. And I put the needle in the side of this hunk of wood. And I started to move it up and it just started to come out. So I stopped, called the family, because we've been watching Will limp for 2.5 weeks. And I said to Will, you do it. And he pulled it out. It just kept coming. It must have been an inch long. It was that thick. That was the lump of wood in this 10-year-old's foot. Now, remember when it first happened, I put the tweezers in, but I could feel nothing. And I don't think it was a crossways. I don't think it was up. I think it was a bit on an angle. And what the hot and coals and the grated potato did, they gave the body the right conditions to pull this lump of wood out of the foot. Incredible. Will has still got a scar on the top of his, on the bottom of his foot where that piece of wood came out. What did I do then? Nothing. Because the offending article was gone. I did encourage him not to jump in any cow pats. It was as clean as a whistle. What would have happened if I'd done nothing? It's an old sleeper. It's been under a railway track for 20 years. What's it got in it? Dirt and grime and all sorts of nasties. Yeah.
Didn't you also say that if it was surgery, it might be hard to get out every single little piece?
It is. In fact, I was talking to another doctor friend of mine one day, and he had a lady come in, and her boy had a bamboo spike go in the back of his foot. So they took him to surgery, and where they suspected it was, they cut, but they couldn't find it. And they're not going to go cut, 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 cut. And so my friend, Dr. G, he said to the mother, because he's a Chinese doctor, so he has a bit of a natural background, he said to the mother, go home and just do hot and coals. Do hot and coals every morning and every afternoon. And eventually it came out. Little by little, he told me the story. He said it took about 10 days and the spike started to come out of the end of the foot.
If you would try to heal a person that has been using products for a long term off the shelf, and now you start natural remedies, will you have the same effect and healing process than with people that have gone through natural remedies for a long period of time? Meaning having the same effect, although the body might have been spoiled through the shelf products.
I find that it still has the same effect. Which is great. I've even done this on alcoholics. And you wouldn't think you've got an effect, but we're still getting an effect. which is great. Because remember, the body wants to get rid of those foreign objects. And what it will do is it'll speed up the process when you do this. Remember what the hot and colds do? More blood to the area. And the poultices just basically reduce the inflammation and soften it so it just sort of opens up and helps to draw it out.
Can you test any of that? Something more like comfrey, how we use it?
Yes, comfrey. I will move on to comfrey. I think we've exhausted potato. It's such a simple poultice. Yeah. And yet how powerful is it? I have to hold myself back because there are more stories. But I've given you what I think is some of the most incredible stories. And remember, Chris, with his swollen foot and red line, is smoking dope. So sometimes you don't have say over what the person's doing, but you know what you find? When you get results like that, then they're open. Mm-hmm. Then they're open to to listening to your advice in other areas. So the comfrey contains a growth stimulant. So I'm going to write down what comfrey, what the effect that comfrey has. The growth stimulant is allantin. And its nickname is knit bone. It has a growth stimulant. It's anti-inflammatory. So wherever you apply it, it'll reduce the inflammation.
Can you write down the growth stimulant?
Yep. Allantin. I think it's tin. Doesn't look right. Allantin. I think. And it also is a lubricant. So it's perfect for joints. Especially if someone has a deteriorated joint. It can, as a growth stimulant, it can help to stimulate rapid growth.
When you eat it? Or when you...
When you apply it.
When you apply it.
So the most remarkable story I have is we had a little cleaning lady. She was in her 50s and my son was teaching her to ride a little scooter, motor scooter. And she was going along and he said, "Slow down, Katie." And she thought slowing down was going back. So she went like this and it went faster and she saw a brick wall coming. So she turned and the bike went on top of her. And when they got to her, her tibia was sticking up, not through the skin. It was like, looked like a tent. Now we had a guy working for us at the time. His name's Malbone Lang, and his grandfather was a bone specialist from Malaysia. And so he came running over and said, "Hold your breath, Katie. I'm going to set it." And he quickly put it into place. I was not there at the time. The ambulance came, and they blew up like a balloon around her leg. They x-rayed it. Her tibia and her fibula were totally broken and her knee was crushed. So she was in hospital and they were going to do a pin and plate on her. And they wheeled her into the operating theatre twice, but the surgeon said, her knee is too swollen. We cannot operate while it is so swollen. So I would visit her every day. And one day when I went in, her leg was white, almost numb. So I had one of our massage girls with me and I got her to massage the feet. Sometimes it's the only place she can move. So she massaged the feet and we just chatted away. And within 15 minutes, the leg was red again. And she said, "Oh, that feels so much better." And her husband was across the way. She'd been in hospital for 5 days and he looked at me and he said, "I think I'm just going to take Katie home." I said, "Do it." So they brought Katie home and she had like Velcro strips around these, these rods with Velcro strips. And we set up a bed in my lounge room and it was winter time and we had Katie in the bed because we knew she could not walk. She had to be totally immobilized. And I told my boys, who were about 12 and 14 at the time, "Boys, we need comfrey." And it was winter. So in the winter, the healing properties go into the root because in the winter, the leaves die off. We don't get snow, but we get frost. It always dies up. In the spring and the summer, you get the highest amount of allantin and other actives in the leaves. And so they got me a whole, in fact, they got me about this much root. And what we did, I washed it and I grated it. And I grated it on this small grater here and it almost comes out like chewing gum. It's the lubricant in it. It's really gooey. So what I did was I spread it out on a cloth like this, spread it out in the middle and I folded it over north, south, east and west. So I had an area about that big and I knew that that would cover her knee and the top of her tibia and fibula. And what I did was then I pour about a teaspoon of boiling water on that and then quickly pull it over and that teaspoon helps the juice to come out. And then I laid it on the knee, put the plastic over and wrapped it on and put her like a brace there. And every day we would say, Father in heaven, please bless this poultice. We should know what we're doing. I'd never done this before, but I knew what Comfrey could do. And she didn't like the thought of a pin and plate, and they were saying he'll probably never walk again. It's possible there'll be nerve damage. So there was all this. But when her husband saw the response just from massaging the foot, I think he thought, I think we can do better at home. So we kept her there, and I would sponge her every day. We'd have to bring a pan for her toilet because we knew we had to totally immobilize this leg for it to heal. And I came out one morning, and it was after about 5 days, and she said, and I used to sit in the lounge room and do my morning reading, and I was reading through the Ministry of Healing. And I came in and she said, Barbara, I don't want to interfere with your private time, but she said something happened in my leg last night. I said, oh? She said, it wasn't painful, but it was like, that's how she explained it to me. She says, there were things happening. I said, really? Well, we'll just take that as a good sign. What the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. And then I sat down and I opened the Ministry of Healing at page 316, because that's just where I was up to. And this is exactly what I read. God is constantly employed in using as his servants the things that he has made. He works through the laws of nature using them as his instruments. I read that morning after that had happened to her. I said, Katie, listen to this. God is constantly employed in upholding and using as his servants. He's his servant. The things that he has made. He works through the laws of nature using them as his instruments. Surgery was happening in that leg. Isn't that exciting? Praise God for his perfect timing. God already knew where I was up to. Oh, Katie nearly started crying. She said, wow, isn't that incredible? We kept her in the bed for 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, we'd get her up very carefully. We put her in a wheelchair. We'd take her out to the sun and we'd open it and we put the sunshine on it. She had a lovely golden brown leg after a while. After 6 weeks, we let her get up on crutches so she could go and have a shower. And I remember she's coming back one day and she tripped and went over. And I'm looking at her and she said, it's all right, praise God, it's all right, praise God. She just let herself fall because we thought, oh no. But it was all right. She was not hurt. It must have been after 2 months, because after 6 weeks she's on crutches now. And after 2 months we got her a walking frame and she was able to walk just a little bit. Who'll tell her how much she can do? This leg. Do you know when she was in bed and she was a little overweight, she lost weight because she used to eat a lot of carbohydrates, but I had, you know, I actually just gave her what I eat. She was so excited. After 3 months, she's walking quite well with the walking frame. After 4 months, she's walking without it. She started running. Isn't that incredible? So she went back to the doctor to have an x-ray and she was healed. The knee was healed, the tibia and the fibula was healed, and the doctor said it mustn't have been broken. Guests had come to our retreat and we'd say, okay, Katie, show them how you can run. She said, yep, and she'd run. She'd run up and down the hallway. Isn't God good? We were really stepping out in faith there. Now, do you remember what the doctor said? She may never walk properly again and there's possible nerve damage. I have great faith in surgeons. Surgery's come a long way. I used to work in operating theatre and, well, what those guys can do is absolutely incredible. But it's very difficult on a smashed knee and a broken tibia and fibula. Can you see that? how can you apply this screws? And yeah, and they have to say you may never walk again properly, and you may have damaged nerves, because it's very, very difficult for them to basically patch that up. And so I always appreciate that and understand that. So this was an incredible story. And of course, that's what they wanted to do. And I said, well, if that's what you want to do, we're gonna do all that we can. But it must have been easily 4 months we put that on every single night. Mm-hmm. You know, it was incredible. My boys just dug so much up that in the second fridge I had a whole bag of it. And this is months after Katie's all healed and we're not using it anymore. It's like in the back of the second fridge. And I opened the fridge one day and I thought, look at that comfrey, it's sprouting. It's been in the fridge for 6 months and it's sprouting because summer had come. And I thought, well, that's the growth stimulant. That's why you never put it in your garden. A friend of mine said to me one day, Barbara, come out and look at my garden. We've just rotary hoed it up for the spring. And I looked at it and it was probably about as big as this room, and there's little comfrey plants coming up everywhere. He had comfrey in one corner and he rotary hoed all the roots. And I said, oh, I said, where are you going to make your veggie garden now? That's your comfrey garden now. Where are you going to make your veggie garden? Because it'll take over. We've got one in the corner of our big vegetable garden and I'm always pulling up the comfrey, always pulling it up. I was reading that when you put it in a bucket with water and let it sit for a couple of weeks, it is an excellent liquid fertilizer for your garden. And if you put comfrey into your compost bin, it has a similar effect to cow manure in the compost bin. So it is an incredible herb. You can see why it's one of the first herbs I put into my garden. Now, where I dug it first up, but we exhausted that, then the boys had to go elsewhere to dig up, was just outside my back door. And it was in a patch about as big as this table, and there was cement either side. So it was a perfect place for the comfrey. It couldn't go anywhere. We exhausted that patch. But you know when you're great, you're left with a tiny little lump? Well, what I did was I just go and throw that little lump. Lots of little lumps were thrown back in the soil. Springtime, the new growth that came out of that patch was as if no one had ever dug anything out of there. And it's because of this growth stimulant that it has. So it's a very powerful one. I gather the leaves in the spring and the summer. I dry them. And I break them up because they're very dry in a jar. And I counted it one day because people wanted to know how many. I would 100 leaves. Some are big, some are medium. So average 100 middle-sized leaves pulverized right up in almost 2 litres of olive oil. And then I shake it well and let that sit for 2 months. And then after 2 months, I strain it through a calico bag and I heat it in a double saucepan. We're moving on to herbs, which we're going to look at tomorrow. And I put it in a double saucepan, and in another saucepan I melt beeswax. And then when they're both the same temperature, I pour the beeswax into the oil, the comfrey oil, and then I pour that into little jars and we sell that as comfrey cream. And we've had people try the cream on, take it home, and then 2 weeks later they're ordering 10 jars. And it's dark green in colour. So that's how we make our comfrey cream. Yeah.
Would it also help with degenerized bones?
Yes, there's no reason why not. So because it's a growth stimulant, it'll stimulate rapid healing in tendon, in ligament, in bone, in tissue, in any area in the body. Wow. Mm. It's a very powerful herb, yeah?
So the cream has the same effect like the roots you were using in wintertime?
Well, if it was spring and summer, I would have pulverized up the leaves and made the poultice. Mm. It's not as strong as the poultice, But not everyone has the comfrey and can use the poultice, so it's still quite effective.
And that you would use more often probably if you use the...
Yes, that's right. That's right. So you can see it's very good on joints, especially deteriorated joints, because the lubricant really helps with the joint.
Deteriorated joints, you mean arthrosis?
Often there can be damage from osteoporosis, arthritis. Things like that. You'll see as we go through this that you might alternate poultices for a certain condition. So what I'd like to look at now is is cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper is a remarkable herb too. Yeah.
I have one question, but you can't use it in town the comfrey.
They say you can't.
You can. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you use comfrey if the person had cancer?
Yep. Now, officially, they say it's too dangerous to use comfrey internally. Mm-hmm. So one of my herb books tells the story that a man got a cow from the abattoirs, you know, where cows go to get killed. Do you call that abattoirs? And he bought an old cow. This cow was so old it could hardly walk and it was about to be killed. So he thought, all I'm going to do is feed it comfrey. So if it dies, it doesn't matter. So he just gave it bales of comfrey and he'd let the comfrey wilt a bit. Well, it wilts anyway after you've cut it. And that's all the cow ate, comfrey. After a couple of weeks, he noticed that the cow was picking up. He noticed that it was putting on muscle and tone, started to walk around. Then it began to produce milk. This is an old cow about to be killed. Then he started to milk the cow, just keep giving it comfrey, and the cream, he said, was an inch thick on top of this milk. He did it as an experiment because they say don't take comfrey by mouth because... it can cause liver damage. Well, it didn't cause liver damage on the cow. And when we do green drinks, we'll often put some comfrey in that. So I don't advise taking by mouth, but I'll leave it up to you. My little boys, for some reason, it's such a furry, prickly plant, they used to chew on it. And they used to come in with green juice coming out of their mouths. This is little 4 and 6 year old boys. And Peter said to me one day, Mum, comfrey's good. You really should put it in the salad. He used to chew on it and I didn't run out and stop them. So the cayenne comes from the capsicum family. Chili comes from the chili family. And cayenne is a blood stimulant. Now, some people say we shouldn't use cayenne because it's a stimulant, but what they don't understand is the different stimulants. This is a blood stimulant. So where's the life of the flesh, students? In the blood. So anything that stimulates blood, isn't that going to increase healing? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's a book called Curing with Cayenne, and the author is Sam Beiser. He's a medical journalist. Curing with Cayenne. I think you can get it as an ebook. And he shows in that book that you put cayenne with any other herb and it'll intensify its action. So as a blood stimulant, cayenne can be applied internally to boost your hydrochloric acid. I was taking cayenne to ease my sore throat. And when my back was very, very sore, remember I said I got up in the middle of the night and made a ginger poultice? You know what I also did? I had 1/2 teaspoon of cayenne pepper in water and threw that down. It's an analgesic. Because one morning my back was incredibly painful and I took the cayenne pepper and within half an hour my pain had gone down 50%. So comfrey is an analgesic. I was talking to a lady. Cayenne. I was talking to a lady whose husband's hand went through a roller. It's about 40, this guy. And his whole hand was crushed. And the tips of two fingers were starting to go black. And the doctor wanted to cut those fingers off. And she contacted me. I said, no. I said, all you need to do is get blood into that area. So I said, sprinkle the cayenne pepper on. And what you can do is get a cloth, put a little bit of oil on, so it's and sprinkle the cayenne pepper on there and put it on. Well, this guy, everything he did 100%. And he just, they emailed me back and said, it's just too painful. I said, take it off immediately. And then I said, show me what you put on. You could not even see the white cloth. He'd put so much cayenne pepper on. I said, you've just overdone it. So what he started to do, and this worked very well, and tomorrow we're going to talk about aloe when we look at the herbs. He put some aloe gel and about a quarter the amount of cayenne, and he could tolerate that. But at the same time, for his pain, he took the cayenne pepper. And he found tablets in the US that had aloe in them and high-dose cayenne, and he said that helped his stomach and it also brought him incredible pain relief. He said that it was doing the same thing as Tylenol. Now, Tylenol is a pain-killing drug in the US. We don't have it in Australia. We have ibuprofen. I don't know if you have that. Nurofen, things like that. So it's equal to that. He said the cayenne did what those painkillers did. Isn't that incredible? And then when you have a look at the effect of cayenne, it's an analgesic. That's a pain-killing effect, yes?
But why does it differ from chili? Like, what's the chemicals?
Well, there is controversy over the difference here, but all I can see is that chili is from the chili family, cayenne is from the capsicum family.
From which family?
The capsicum. So what's the...
Bell pepper.
Bell pepper? He didn't have to have his fingers chopped off. In fact, the doctor could not believe it. So I was in touch with this guy every couple of days. And he couldn't do hot and cold straight away, but probably after about 2 weeks he started doing the hot and colds. And then he kept up the aloe and the cayenne. And you'll find tomorrow when we talk about aloe, it also has a growth stimulant. Internally, cayenne pepper will thin the blood. Internally, cayenne pepper opens the blood vessels, dilates them. Internally, cayenne pepper strengthens the arterial walls. So it's a perfect herb for people with heart problems. I've got a lady I'm dealing with, in contact with at the moment, and she's only early 40s and she had a heart attack, and they've got her on warfarin. Do you know what warfarin is? It's rat poison, and the rats bleed to death. But they don't give as much warfarin to humans. But you know what you'll find people with on warfarin? People have told me this, their nose starts to bleed. Their eyes start to bleed. They just touch their skin and bruise and bleeding happens. And I said to her, the cayenne pepper is just as effective but far more potent and yet no side effects. She wrote back and she said, I'm scared to stop. And I said, the warfarin probably saved your life in the crisis, but the crisis has passed. And the cayenne pepper will do it. It will thin the blood. It will open the capillaries and it will also strengthen the arterial wall. All warfarin does is thin the blood. That's all it does. So it's an excellent herb for people with heart problems who've had strokes or have had a cardiac arrest, yeah?
It shouldn't be a problem to give it to young children and older people?
No, not at all.
How do you apply it?
You take it internally for the blood thinning effect, but
every day or?
Yeah,
you must take it
three times a day, Yeah. Yeah, not everyone can handle half a teaspoon. Start with a quarter, go up to a third, get to half if you can. Yeah?
What about heart arrhythmia?
Heart arrhythmia, we'll talk about that a bit tomorrow because there is another herb that can help with the heart arrhythmia.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But always in water or
yeah. In
the mouth directly?
Water helps. It'll tingle a bit, but you'll get used to it. You're familiar with the book Back to Eden by Jethro Kloss?
Yes.
He devotes half a page to every herb, but he devotes 10 pages to cane pepper. Back to Eden by Jethro Kloss. This book was written in maybe the late 1800s, and he was greatly influenced by the writings of Ellen White.
Yeah.
So what about externally? Can you use cane pepper externally, and how would you use it externally? Remember, it stimulates blood. So you could use it anywhere where there's lack of feeling to the area. It's excellent to put on people with cold feet who've lost their feeling in their feet. Remember yesterday we talked about how you can't put cold feet in hot water. And you can't put people that have no feeling in their feet into the hot water. But you can apply a cane compress. So how do we do that? Well, we put a very small amount of olive oil, and to be able to put a small amount of olive oil on this, I just dot it with my finger. If you pour the olive oil on, you'll have too much olive oil, and then oil goes everywhere. The socks get oily, if they're having it overnight, the sheets get oily, no fun at all. And so I just dot it on, and why I'm putting the oil on there is because the oil will hold the cane in place. If you don't put the oil on, the cane pepper just runs away. So this, I found, is the very best way, because I've had staff put this on to guests' feet, and then in the morning we've got oil all over the sheets. No fun. And if it's uncomfortable, if it doesn't work, you know, people aren't going to want to do it again. So you see what I've done there? Just sort of dotted over. And the cane pepper will stick to those spots. And you put about a half a teaspoon of cane pepper per foot. And the foot will be placed straight on top of this. It will not burn. It will not burn at all. By 4 o'clock in the morning, the feet might be getting hot. My feet would certainly get hot because I don't have cold feet. But if a person has cold feet, usually by morning their feet are getting warm. But if you've got good circulation, and the reason I have good circulation is because I exercise. So can you see how much cane we've got on there? And see how if that oil wasn't on there, it'd all be falling off. So that's the reason for it. And you see that I've put it on a bit of plastic. So what happens is the foot goes on there and then you put a sock on. And if you're a bit concerned that the oil might come out a bit, then you can put a plastic bag if you want to, or woolen socks over that. Woolen will hold it. So I find when people have no feeling in their feet, you put this on their feet overnight, by morning they talk about feeling pins and needles in their feet. So you might do this every night for 3 or 4 nights and the feeling starts to come back into the feet. Isn't that incredible? Can you see that we've got natural remedies for things that medicine can't fix? And if someone has cold feet, because we have a lot of ladies that come with cold feet and they're, you know, they wear sandals in the winter where they should be wearing warm shoes, and some of them are just so used to having cold feet And then I think I mentioned yesterday, the toes start to go numb. So we put the cayenne pepper compress on the bottom of the feet, and by morning, the feet are getting warm. So we wouldn't put it on the next night, otherwise the feet can get too hot. So we might put it on every third night or every second night. Remember, you're looking for the body's response. And then teach the person that perfect health requires perfect circulation, to start implementing an exercise program which gets the circulation of the blood right out to the extremities.
What if you have a friend in church that has she has worked too hard and she has pain in her arms and whatever, can you put cayenne?
If a person has pain in their arms, you can certainly try it, but remember you'd search out their history to find out why there are pains in their arms. You can try it. You've got nothing to lose and much to gain. An underactive thyroid gland, you can put a cayenne compress on the thyroid. I was talking about it in one lecture, and that night the lady said to the staff, Can I have a cayenne compress on my neck overnight? Now, they didn't ask me, and I would have advised against it. And I'll tell you why. And in the morning, she said, I've got good news and bad news. The bad news is I didn't sleep all night, and the good news is it worked. So you do it for a few hours in the morning. And what I found, people say that it gets really hard, and then it eases. Then it gets hot again, and then it eases. And for an overactive thyroid gland, what will slow it down?
Ice.
And then you go on, off, on, off, on, off. You're treating symptoms there, but remember, when you use natural remedies to treat symptoms, you're bringing relief, but you're also contributing to healing. Now, the last thing I wanted to... Actually, I've got two more things to talk about. One is charcoal. And charcoal adsorbs. You've heard the word adsorb. What does adsorb mean? Adsorb means that it absorbs and neutralizes poisons. That's what adsorb means. So because charcoal absorbs and neutralizes poisons, it can be used in all cases of poisoning. In hospital today, if someone goes in with an overdose, one girl told me this, she was given the choice, she could have a stomach pump or she could take a dice of charcoal. Charcoal's surface area is huge. In fact, a small piece of charcoal, the surface area, because there's so many facets, takes up a huge area. And when the poisons come in touch with those surface areas, the charcoal absorbs and neutralizes poisons. And the beauty of taking it in for poisoning is it's neutralized the poison, so as it goes all through the gastrointestinal tract, the poison's not going to hurt you because it's been absorbed and neutralized. So it can be used internally for diarrhea, for stomach poisoning, food poisoning, anything like that. It'll absorb and neutralize the poison. It can also be used externally for any poisoning. So bee stings, snake bites, spider bites, wasp bites, anything like that. And what's incredible is that when you apply the comfrey poultice to a bite, it takes the pain out almost immediately. But mixing it with water is like mixing dirt with water. So it's nice to have a binder. What I've got here is slippery elm. Slippery elm is the powdered bark of the slippery elm tree, and I'm going to talk about it more tomorrow when we talk about herbs. But it looks like the powdered bark of a tree, doesn't it? See, it's... And when you put water with slippery elm, it goes like a soft jelly, so it's perfect for putting with charcoal. So I usually do half-half of that, And another reason why it's good to put the slip, you put the lid on that immediately, because you're in trouble if you drop your comfrey jar. So I usually do half-half. And another reason to put them together is that Jethro Kloss, in his book Back to Eden, he says that the slippery elm is the best drawer. Mm-hmm. Goes quite deep. So you put as much water in. Tomorrow I'll talk about what happens when you take this internally. But now I'm just going to do the external poultice. So if it goes too thick, you just add a little bit more water. But as you mix it, you will find that it goes like a soft jelly. And then you can put it in your poultice. Now, if you don't have slippery elm, you could use ground flaxseed. You could even use psyllium husks. And psyllium husks is definitely a cheaper option than slippery elm. Pardon?
Quinoa. Could you mix it with quinoa?
Oh, you want something that will bind it.
And
But I guess if you use quinoa, you'd have to cook it first, you know, and if someone's got a bee sting, you want to make this in a hurry. And so ground flaxseed or psyllium.
Oh, yeah.
Chia seeds. Oh, okay. Yeah, you could. But again, chia seed can be a bit expensive.
Yeah.
So this is getting a bit thick, so I'm just adding a little bit more water. And I'm going to make a tiny little one for a bee sting. So you put the plastic down. This is a bit smaller, so I'll fold this over a little bit more. So place the cloth down. It's gone even thicker. That's what happens with slippery elm. It goes thicker as it sits. But where you would use this is not only a bee sting or a bite, but you can also use a comfrey poultice for a very upset stomach or abdomen. Remember, it'll draw out and neutralise poisons.
You mean slippery elm, not comfrey elm?
Charcoal and slippery elm. So you can see how it goes a bit like a lump of jelly. So you can imagine putting that straight on the skin, you could, but it's a mess. It's a mess. And you might not mind a mess. And then you make your package and turn it over. And there's your comfrey poultice. Must be the end of the day. Words are getting mixed up. There's your charcoal poultice.
It's an activated charcoal.
Yes, but when I was in the rainforest, I just used the charcoal out of the fire.
Yeah.
It'll still work. The activated is a little bit more potent.
That was Dr. Press.
Yeah, but any charcoal will work. So the last one is castor oil. Castor oil penetrates deeper than any other oil. And wherever castor oil penetrates, it breaks up lumps, bumps, adhesions. It'll break up a bone spur. So if it can break up a bone spur, it can break up fibroids, it can break up cysts, it can break up tumours. So this can be part of a program that you might give someone who has any of those problems. So what you do when you're making a castor oil compress, you want several layers. So often we use old towels because we have our guests having steam baths every day, and we wash the towels every day from the steam bath, then the towels can start to get a bit thin. So we save the thin towels and make them into castor oil compresses. And you put the plastic backing. Now what you'll find, I'll draw this on the board. There it is. So with the castor oil, it is very, very thick oil. So let's say this is your compress, your package of several layers. Then you put the oil on about that much. And it'll be like a bubble. It's so thick. And then you'll wait 10, 15 minutes and it'll slowly soak through and come out that far. And then you'll put it on your hot body and your hot body will warm the oil and it'll come up about that far. Whereas if you coat the whole with castor oil, as your body warms it, you don't want dripping castor oil. That's no fun at all. The castor oil compress is not a poultice. It's a compress. And as a compress, it's not drawing anything out of you. It's a vehicle to hold the oil to go into you. So the thicker the compress, the more oil it will hold, and then the more oil can go into you. If you just rub the castor oil on, it's very sticky. Takes a while to go in. And it might eventually go in, but you probably have to rub it in for about 20 minutes. So the plastic on the backing just protects your clothes. And you might wear it overnight, fold it over, put it on the bench, and then tomorrow, the next night, open it up and apply it again. And if it's feeling a little dry, put a little bit more castor oil. You'll get to know it. So I have an injury on my shin. I was running downstairs a bit fast and I tripped. And the point of the stair went straight into my shin there. Oh, that hurt. Anyway, potato poultices and putting it up helped. And it healed, and that was fine. But let's fast forward 8 years later. The last 8 years, my cars have been, automatic? I used to always drive a manual, but I haven't driven a manual for a long time. And we got a manual car. So that leg was doing a lot of clutch work. And we live in the rainforest. And so there's lots of corners. And many years ago, the car I had didn't have brakes, when we went through the creek, so I learnt to use my clutch and my gears. So every time I go round a corner, instead of braking, I just clutch it. I just go down in gears and then I can accelerate out of it. So I probably drive a little different to most. When I drive a manual car, I use my gears a lot, because I learnt to not depend on my brakes so much. So we get this new car and it's gear, so I'm using it a lot. And then my leg began to ache. It ached and it ached. And I thought, oh, I'm overdoing the clutch. So Michael said, you drive the automatic car. Go back to the automatic. So I went back to the automatic car. 2 weeks later, it's still aching. So you see, when you're not getting a response, Then you start to think, now what is the matter with this leg? So my son, who one of his hats that he wears is a remedial massage therapist, so I said, Peter, look at my leg. Anyway, he's brutal with his massage. He said, you've had an injury here. And then I remembered falling down the steps 8 years before. He says, you've got scar tissue buildup there. He said, that needs to be broken down. So he's digging it with his thumb and I'm just about dying. He said, breathe, Mum, just breathe, breathe. I could only take so much of his treatment. And then he did it the next day and it was even more brutal. And I said, Pete, he said, Mum, it's got to be broken down, you know. Just breathe, breathe, Mum. So I decided to do a gentle one. I decided to wear a castor oil compress. And I wore that castor oil compress 24/7 because I knew the castor oil could break up the scar tissue. And so I wore it for, I think, 6 weeks, 24/7, and I wore the same one for 6 weeks. And maybe every 24 hours I put a little bit more on. And my leg had no more pain. It penetrates very deep. It breaks up scar tissue, so it's great on the abdomen for people that have had surgery, you know, and years later sometimes they can get pain because scar tissue has grown. That'll prevent scar tissue build-up and it'll break down the scar tissue build-up. Endometriosis, fibroids in the uterus, cysts on the ovaries, polycystic ovarian syndrome. You wear the castor oil compress. What I say to people is consistency is the key. It's not going to go away in a day or a week. And so what you'd make for the abdomen would be about that big. You do hip to hip, pubic bone to belly button. You do about that area there. And remember, the thicker the compress, the more castor oil it'll hold, and then the more castor oil can go into you. Breast cancer, breast lumps. And what I find ladies tell me is the most helpful, they'll buy an organic cotton panty liner and they'll put the castor oil on that because it's very absorbent. It has a plastic backing and it just slips into the bra. But at the same time, you also advise sports bras, cotton bras or bamboo bras and no wire. The wire blocks the flow of the lymph into the nodes under the arms. So you're starting to see as we go through this that when a person has a problem, you're pulling from the different laws and the different poultices and the different water therapies, and then you'll have a whole program for them. So for gallstones, for kidney stones, for bone spurs, very helpful.
The kidney stones would also be a compress.
And there you put it along there. Mm-hmm. And you can buy and even make cloths that have got Velcro strips, and that's really good to hold it on. Liver, The castor oil will help to break up the gallstones. In fact, any problem with the liver and the castor oil will penetrate deep, and wherever it penetrates, it cleanses the area. So for pancreas, do it on the left side of the pancreas. So the lady with the really sore knee, because she overdid the ginger poultice, next night she could maybe wear a castor oil compress. Maybe the next night a potato poultice. See how you can alternate your poultices.
What about internal use?
No.
Not at all?
No. It's an irritant internally, so I never advise that. I've met some ladies that have been told that if they take castor oil, their labral start, but I've never seen it to be so.
Can you buy a bad quality castor oil?
Not really.
No.
Not really. It's from the castor oil plant. When I was in Jamaica a couple of years ago, they said, "Can we get you something?" And I said, "Yes, Jamaican castor oil." And they gave me two bottles this big of dark brown Jamaican castor oil. I've still got a little bit at home. I gave one bottle to the health centre and I've kept the other bottle. It appears that when it's brown, the castor oil pod has been roasted. And apparently it is a little bit more potent. But we've been using just the clear castor oil that you buy in the chemist. We've been using that for years and that's effective. I know an old remedy, they say, was taking castor oil by mouth, but it's actually not effective by mouth. If anything, it can be an irritant inside. Yeah.
Is it good for the skin?
Yes, you can use it on the skin. I know that Jamaicans rub it into their hair and they...
But
it is so sticky. It is so sticky, that's right. And it's so sticky on the skin. But if you keep rubbing for about 15 minutes, it eventually goes in.
Why do you do it for the hair?
Nourishes the hair. So it nourishes the hair. The people in Jamaica have got the frizzy hair and it calms it down.
They say it helps as well against hair loss.
Yep. Yeah, I'll talk about that a bit more tomorrow. We'll talk about hair loss tomorrow and some combinations you can use, and the castor oil can be part of that. That is true. One more thing with castor oil, that it is reported to break up cataracts. So you can put a drop of castor oil in each eye, but what is much easier, and I have people tell me this, they just put a drop on their finger and wipe it over their eyelid. It'll go through the eyelid, through the lashes. And it apparently can also be helpful for glaucoma. But when we look at herbs, we've got a few days on herbs. I'll go over some herbs that can also help. So you can do with the herb wash that I'll be going through. And after the herb wash, then you can wipe the castor oil over the eye. It'll be very sticky at first, but remember it does go in. So maybe you do it about 2 hours before bed so you don't oil up your pillowcase. As a washerwoman, I'm mindful of the sheets, the pillowcases. Well, congratulations for sitting so long. We'll close now, and I'll say a word of prayer to close. Father in heaven, thank you so much for teaching us today. We thank you so much for the herbs and the poultices, the natural treatments you've given us. And we pray, Father, that you will help us to retain this knowledge and use it, which is the best way to retain it. We pray that each one of us will have a restful night's sleep and exercise, that we may be ready for school tomorrow, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.